What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the For the Good podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Our mission is to reach the next generation by encouraging you using God's word.
We cover topics like Christian dating. God does not want someone to come to him because of a person.
Finding your godly spouse. That's how God works in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Following God's will for your life.
We think that we should be omniscient with God. And staying close to God when the world tempts you. Or it can be worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Romans 8:28 says,
"And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose."
This podcast is for God's good and to grow his kingdom.
Our prayer is that this ministry provides you with a healthy Christian community that you can be a part of.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the For the Good podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome.
I just love the start.
Again, we've talked about it multiple times. Hello, welcome back.
What am I supposed to say? What do I do with my hands?
Yeah. I'm just like, hey, we're here. I'm ready to talk about Jesus. I don't really need an introduction. Like all I do is talk about Jesus all day, so I'm here. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about a topic that, I don't know, I just feel like needs to be talked about. I feel like all of the topics we talk about, I feel like need to be talked about, but...
Well, they're all personalized. That doesn't get talked about in the church.
Yeah.
That's what makes this podcast so cool.
Yeah.
I think actually our podcast was rated number one. No, I'm playing.
I think we have like a 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Oh, really? You've checked at ratings before?
On Spotify, yeah. There's like 30.
We don't have 5 stars?
32. Yeah.
Man, we got some haters. Dang.
I feel like that would be too nice. Yeah. It's almost like
Thank y'all for rating us fairly.
Yes. Yeah.
But seriously, give us a 5-star. No, I'm playing. I don't care.
No, that's not why we do this. But yes, I agree with what you said, is we talk about things that aren't usually preached.
Yeah, it's aren't usually just preached.
It's things that we talk about.
Yeah, it's conversations her and I have, and we're like, wait a second. Here we go. We should actually talk about this on a podcast. That's kind of mm-hmm. why we started mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's do it, honey.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about pastors. And we'll go we'll go more in detail. Basically, the reason why this was on my heart is because of two reasons. I read it in Acts 17. Mm. Yeah. And then also, I think I told you about this. There was a video where this pastor was talking about something that people shouldn't do. I forget what it was. No. They were talking about the dangers of video games, and I watched it because you stream video games, and I was like, oh, I wonder what this person's going to say, because it was like from like a biblical perspective, and he like gave some insight on like why it can be dangerous for some people, why it's not dangerous for others, and like why some games are bad and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I went to the comments, and people were like, pastor, what do you think about this? Or pastor, what about this?
Yes, now I remember you telling me about that. Yeah, that's what the conversation started.
Yeah, because in my head I'm like, why are you asking a pastor on whether or not something's okay for you to be doing that's not in the Bible?
Mm.
You know, like it's not specified. The Bible, the video games weren't a thing. Okay, first of all. So like it's not, this is where it falls into the gray area we talked about like when we talked about convictions.
Yeah.
And so in my head, I'm like, wait a second, this is a gray area. This is a personalized thing that some people are convicted doing and some people aren't.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, why are these people asking about their own convictions to a pastor? And it really made me think that a lot of churches now will rely on pastors to tell them what to do and what not to do. And then it's almost like they're the mediator to the Lord. And it's like, wait a second, why did Jesus die in the first place if we don't have direct access to God? You know?
Honey, these people in that specific comment section were treating their pastor as a prayer closet.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. And something that Asher and I always talk about is if you have to ask if something is okay, it's probably not.
It's probably not.
And this is something that my head, I've thought about things and I'm like, would this be okay? And then I'm like, wait a second. If I'm asking,
if you're asking the question, it's not. Mm-hmm.
No, like it's not.
This guy asked me today, hey, dude, I'm a Christian. Can I watch horror movies? Why are you asking me? If you're asking me, you probably shouldn't do it. Now, here's the thing. I can watch horror movies all day and not be convicted.
Exactly.
But if you're, I don't ask if I can watch horror movies.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't ask God if I can play Valorant today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't need that.
His convictions are just so clear, you know, like in my opinion, we should not need to go up to our church in the lobby and say, hey, I've been struggling with this. Do you think this would be okay?
Mm-hmm.
If he's a good pastor, I hope he would respond with, hey, have you asked God?
Mm-hmm. Have you gone to the secret place?
Yes. Have you sat in prayer with him asking him if this is okay? Or is this something that you've been battling for a while that you haven't gotten a clear answer on as a yes, but it's kind of clear since you haven't gotten a yes, it's probably a no.
It's probably a no.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the
yes we're talking about is not some audible voice coming from heaven saying, yes, my son, you can do. No.
Yeah.
We're not saying that.
Yeah.
All we're saying is, do you get peace doing that said thing
mm-hmm.
or whatever it may be? And I want to make a point real quick. The Bible and God's word makes things black and white that mm-hmm. are supposed to be black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is God,
mm-hmm.
Trinity,
mm-hmm.
Jesus paid the ultimate price. These things are baptism. These things are black and white.
Yeah. Baptism is a whole other topic, man.
Yeah. But
yeah.
There are some areas that are gray.
Mm-hmm.
And the confusion starts when Christians start acting like the gray area is black and white.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because some stuff is not specified in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So like Michelle was saying, instead of running to God, ask mm-hmm. him, hey, this is kind of a gray area.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm getting convicted in my spirit, but I'm not really sure,
mm-hmm.
you know, how should I deal with this? Make me see this in another way.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of running to that,
yeah,
it's actually a pastor.
Yeah.
And newsflash, everybody, the pastor that you're talking to, the access that he has,
mm-hmm.
Jesus made that accessible to everyone on the face of this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I wish I had my study Bible right now. Ooh, go ahead, honey.
What?
I gotta find the verse, but go ahead. Okay. I know you got something to read. Let me see if I can find the verse.
Yeah, so, well, before I get into what I'm gonna read, I just wanna talk about the importance of not idolizing your pastor, because there's a difference between having respect for your pastor and, you know, looking up to them as like a spiritual mentor in a way. But there has to be a line where you're not relying on them for everything. Mm-hmm. Like is it a personal relationship with the Lord that you have that no one else is in charge of for you, like on your behalf, you know? And your pastor is not replacing Jesus. He's not replacing scripture. If he has an opinion on something that's not in the Bible written, then that's something that you take with a grain of salt and whether or not you agree with it. But like, obviously the scripture is not going to change. So if it's in the Bible, then that's cut clear. There it is. So just not like the second you put someone on a pedestal, you are now like you're getting into potentially being extremely let down, because the second you idolize them and you give them like this huge standing in your life, like, I'm sorry, but they are imperfect. And if you're idolizing your pastor and then he comes out and says he has an opinion on something that may or may not be in scripture and it's different from what you think, then you're going to be like, dang, I literally trusted you. And this is where church hurt comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people will like almost idolize their pastors, and then something happens, whether that pastor goes down a different path or something from the past comes up that he has to apologize for. And you're mm-hmm. like, man, I can't trust anyone. I literally thought I could trust you. Like, newsflash, he's not Jesus. He's imperfect, just like you. People mess up all the time, you know? And you have to understand that their goal is to teach you the word of God and lead you closer to God and give you a building that you can come into and be welcome in and make community in.
Mm-hmm.
That's their goal.
Yeah.
Right? So go ahead and read what you found.
Yeah. So I got it.
Okay.
So I'm going to prove it to you that the pastor is no more above you when it comes to accessing the secret place or having access to God. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is Hebrews chapter 10, honey.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. Little backstory. You have to, before you read it, can I say
yes.
this? Okay. Yesterday we were kind of early getting stuff done, and Asher leads a Bible study in his Discord on Wednesdays. And we had like an hour and a half left, and he's like, okay, I got to go in my office. And I was like, what, why are you so urgent about going in your office? I was like, can we finish some house chores and stuff? And he was like, I got to go read Hebrews 10. And I was like, who told you to read this? Like, what? He goes, I don't know. I said, what's Hebrews 10? And he literally disappeared for like 20 minutes.
It was longer than that, but yeah.
That's crazy. Okay.
Well, I made a video today.
Yeah.
I made a live commentary about Hebrews chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. But this is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19.
I just got chills. Okay, go ahead.
So it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Mm. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving mm-hmm. way through the curtain into the most holy place.
That's what I just said. What did he die for if you feel like you can't go directly to him?
Hold on.
Man.
I don't think people understand Old Testament. Moses was the only one that was able to go to the holy place.
You read it again, please.
And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place.
Man, that's good. Man,
Hold on. Verse 22. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Hold on. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. This is so anti-Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone was allowed to go to the holy place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really good.
If y'all want to read more about the holy place, I would recommend reading the book of Exodus. Go ahead, honey.
Okay, so I want to read something that really stood out to me in Acts. So I'm going to go to Acts 17, and this is kind of where this topic came from. Because especially in our generation, I feel like a lot of people talk about Paul's letters in the New Testament, and they're almost like idolizing what he's saying. And now if you read scripture and you read what he says, it's all coming from Jesus. Like he like quotes him a lot and like, you know, but I feel like some people will almost rely on what Paul says and think that it's Paul when really it's Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like they're almost like, what?
Are you saying Paul wrote Acts?
No.
Oh, you're just saying, okay.
I'm saying in
okay,
general.
Okay, in general. Okay, yes. Yeah. Now I'm following.
Luke wrote mm-hmm. Acts. Yeah. No. No, I'm saying like people will read the New Testament, mm-hmm. all those letters, and they're almost idolizing Paul when in reality, like he's said multiple times in his letters, like it's not him, it's Jesus doing the work through him, right? And a lot of the times he is quoting Jesus,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so when I read this, it was talking about how Paul and Silas were preaching. Okay.
Okay.
So it's starting at, this is Acts 17, starting at verse 10. As soon as it was night, the brothers and sisters sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. Berea. However you say that. Upon arrival, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. The people here, this is the verse. The people here were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. Thessalonica, is that how you say it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since they received the word with eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so.
Mm-hmm.
So they were preaching, and instead of just taking what they were saying and being like, oh, yay, okay, mm-hmm. this is great, they literally went back, opened the scriptures, mm-hmm. and looked to make sure that Paul and Silas were preaching according to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you are sitting in a church service,
yeah.
and a pastor is saying something and doesn't use scripture to back up his point, and he just leaves you with his opinion, and you don't go home and are like, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go check this out,
yeah.
you know, and see. And this is, I don't think we said it on here, but Asher and I tried out a new church, and part of the service we didn't really agree with, and we literally went back to scripture and looked at examples that talked about what was going on to back up our claim as to why we felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you hear something from a pastor and you're like, I don't know if this is actually right,
mm-hmm.
go fact check them, right? Like yeah. look in the Bible. We should know what God's word says, so that when they bring something up in service, you're not like, oh, I guess this is true, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we've actually talked about this on the podcast before. I talk about it a lot on my channel, but I talk about the what if sermons. And I don't know if this is kind of where we're going, but I'm going to state it anyway.
Okay.
So there was this sermon that we had at our church a while ago. And she, what was the story in Genesis? It was the story of,
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It was the short blonde girl.
Oh, okay.
I forget who were the brothers in Genesis. Why can't I remember their name?
Isaac.
No, it was,
it was Isaac. Ishmael. Isaac. I don't know.
I haven't read Genesis in like a year. I'll be honest. I thought it was Esau.
Yes.
It was Esau and
Jacob.
Yes. Anywho, she told that story, which was great. I picked up a lot of stuff, but
it was about how he gave the blessing to the other brother.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. And I started having a problem with the what ifs, and it wasn't like mistakenly like questioning God's word, like what if God meant this or what. It was actually more along the lines of like, well, what if God is telling you to do this in your life? But in my head, I'm like, and after the service, I wasn't like mad or anything, but I told Michelle, I was like, I did not like that sermon at all. That's just not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't out of way of like conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people get mad when they get convicted.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to repent from it. They won't turn away from it. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that's fine as in like, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That you're getting convicted.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good that you're not repenting, right? I was more so upset is because I know there are believers in the room
mm-hmm.
that don't study this book like mm-hmm. the way they should.
Mm-hmm.
So then when someone gets on a platform and says, well, what if you're supposed to do this?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take that as fact
mm-hmm.
without confirming it with this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I have a big problem with.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of DMs, the amount of questions I get, hey, so my pastor told me that I should maybe be doing this. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
You should be exactly where God wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
You should not be where someone says you are supposed to be.
Unless it's a prophecy.
Unless it's a prophecy, sure. Sure. I believe that prophecies can happen on mm-hmm. rare occasions. But when a pastor starts saying, well, what if you weren't supposed to start this and you were supposed to do this? What if you were, you know, supposed to work that 9-to-5 job instead of being an entrepreneur? What if you were supposed to do this? And it's just a bunch of what ifs, and then it floods your brain with a bunch of stuff.
It creates anxiety.
And it
takes away your trust in the Lord.
It creates a lot of fear, mm-hmm. and it creates a lot of you thinking you're missing out on mm-hmm. God's will for mm-hmm. your life. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say read this book so much. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's a chapter a morning. I don't care. I would love it if you read more than a chapter. I'm not saying put a time limit on God, but mm-hmm. the book of Psalms is so good when it comes to direction. It actually states, His word is a lamp unto my feet. Mm-hmm. Let me paint a picture for you guys. A dark room, mm-hmm. pitch black, lamp in your hand. How far are you going to see?
Not very far.
Not very far. Mm-mm. Okay. Now you may be asking, well, how come He doesn't give me like a fog light? Mm-hmm. You know, on the baseball fields and stuff like that.
Or
you
like can brights see, yeah, on
you,
your car.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, LEDs, whatever. You can see forever.
Yeah.
And you may be asking, well, why doesn't God just give me the whole thing? And it's like, well, because when you get stuck, mm-hmm. you go back to the book mm-hmm. because He's not going to give you all the steps. Mm-hmm. So these what ifs mm-hmm. that you hear in church, that's the whole plan laid mm-hmm. out for you. Mm-hmm. Well, what if you were supposed to do this, that, something very, what if you were supposed to be working in Arkansas and being an entrepreneur and this? And it's like, that's the whole step laid out. Mm-hmm. That's the whole plan laid out. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't give us the whole plan. Mm-hmm. You know, that God doesn't operate in a way of, I'm going to give you everything at once.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the final destination. Could you imagine the anxiety that would go on, honey, if the Lord said to someone, you are going to be a church and you are going to pastor a congregation of 2,000 people for every single service? Could you imagine how, and you're 16 years old?
Yeah.
Bro, I just gave my life to you 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Could that happen? I can't put God in a box. Mm-hmm. I would say it's unlikely mm-hmm. because there's probably a lot of stuff that you don't know mm-hmm. and you're learning, and there's a lot of steps that you need to do to get there. You know, now I believe that the Lord may put on your heart you're going to be a pastor one day, mm-hmm. but putting numbers in it and how much money your church is going to bring.
Timeline,
stuff yeah. like, ugh, I don't know. That's when stuff gets sticky.
Yeah.
But that's what I wanted to make a point on the what if sermons. Not a fan. I think it makes believers more confused.
Mm-hmm. I get where they're coming from, though. They try to be like motivational and like almost light a fire under you, but it just creates so much confusion. Because that sermon that you were talking about, I left and I was like she preached something similar to that at the women's conference. And I'm over here like, yeah, I need to go do this. I need to do this. And it's like, it motivated me 1,000%. But like, is that what I needed to hear? I don't know. Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, because that's the thing.
Not me then, personally.
Because then you get in your thoughts and you get in your head and you're like, was that God speaking to me?
Yeah.
Am I actually supposed to do that?
It's like the videos on TikTok where you're like, the people are like, this is for you. Stop scrolling. God wants to tell you this or do this. And it's like, bro, you're talking to a phone screen right now. Mm-hmm. You don't even know who I am. And you know how many other people saw the same video? You know? Yeah. That's getting into something else. But
yeah, that's a whole other conversation. But yeah. It's kind of the same concept, though.
Yeah.
Where you can get very confused.
Yeah. And I just want to make sure that, like, in today's world, we're not putting our pastor on like this perfect pedestal and thinking that he knows God's will for our lives when he's not in a relation. It's not three people.
No, it's not.
Well, it is.
No, you're
the
saying
the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Yes, but yeah, no, I'm saying it's not the Lord, you, and your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, not at all. Yeah. It's you and the Trinity. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah,
Well, hold on. We got to say one thing too, real quick. We're also not saying that you can't go to someone for counsel.
1,000%. That's not what I'm saying.
So yeah. when I started this YouTube thing,
mm-hmm.
I seek counsel for it. Mm-hmm. Not asking, should I and do this? And not
one person. You asked multiple people.
It wasn't, should I do this? It was more so along the lines of, hey, man, I'm thinking about starting this. I believe the Lord's kind of directed me here. What are your thoughts?
It was almost like a, yours was almost like a, I feel like this is going to be my ministry. Would this be a good ministry?
Yeah.
Or like.
It was almost like, do you believe this community could be impacted in a positive way?
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't like, is this sin?
Yeah. Yeah. Or should I? It
happened so long ago, I actually forgot how it went.
Because. But. I feel like because I had a mentor in Ohio, which I need to call her. I've been thinking about that a lot lately.
Yeah, you do.
But I went to her for like sound advice on things that I was going through. And she didn't even actually give me advice. She spoke the word over me that clarified things in my relationship with the Lord, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord used her to give me scripture that I needed to hear that answered my questions.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, you need to go do this. Mm-hmm. You need to go do this. Now, she did give me some advice, but that was like life advice. That wasn't like, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
And we stop our pastor to ask him like Bible questions a lot too.
Oh, yeah.
But like as far as like.
Oh, wait, I got it. Here's something that I did ask our pastor.
Okay.
When I started getting donated money for my ministry, I asked him, what should I do with it?
Mm.
I asked him, why do I feel guilty getting this money?
Mm-hmm.
And he went over. Oh, man, what was it? I can't remember. It was either Philippians 3 or 1 Peter something.
Very different. Okay.
They are. But I can't remember what it was. But he walked me through a lot of stuff. And he wasn't like, well, this is how I do it. And my no. Mm-hmm. He went right here.
Mm-hmm.
Because the confirmation's right here.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't give me his opinion.
Can you imagine if he would have been like, you give it to the church, our church, right now?
Now, the thing is because we know him, it would have been hilarious.
Oh, it would have been so funny. Because he probably would have said that as a joke.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But as far as
the
like...
The funniest thing our pastor ever said was when Convoy of Hope, great ministry, y'all should definitely check them out.
Love them. They called me the other day, mm-hmm. left me a voicemail. Personally. Yeah. Like they... Such a good ministry.
Great ministry.
Go ahead.
Anywho, one of the heads of Convoy of Hope came and John said, what's up, everybody? We will be asking for your money today. It was just really, really funny because it was a sermon explaining about Convoy of Hope, which is essentially like adopting a kid. So you, wait, is that not Convoy of Hope? Wait, which one?
I was wondering where you were going with this.
Wait, which one?
Convoy of Hope is the one that we donate to for disaster relief.
Oh, no, no.
Compassion International is the kid that we have on the fridge.
Yes, Compassion International. Okay.
Okay.
Compassion International.
Yes.
You can pay like $50 a month.
It's like 40 something. Yeah.
Yeah, and it gets sent to a family that has no money whatsoever.
One kid. You sponsor the child.
Yeah, you sponsor a child and it gives them everything they need.
Yes.
And it's awesome. Anywho, so he came out and he was like, yes, we want your money today.
Yeah.
And it was just so funny the way he put it because our pastor's not like that.
Yeah.
You can legit see on our website or on the church's website all the money.
Yeah, you can see where it goes. They have their tax information.
Yeah, tax information, everything.
Yeah.
Which is
very transparent.
Yeah, very transparent. Yeah. Does not hide anything.
Yeah.
Which is a green flag, everyone. Just saying. Yes.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, honey, before we close this thing out?
I forget. I think I was going to ask, like, or I was going to bring up the fact that people ask pastors, like, who should I marry? Should I take this job?
Oh.
Like very specific things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you should pray about it. And like you said, like if the pastor's like, oh, well, I think you should do this. It's like, I'm sorry, but like, I get small churches. You probably know your pastor very, very well. Mm-hmm. Like they probably know your whole life story.
Mm-hmm.
Like my best friend's small church, he knows everything about her life.
Mm-hmm.
But I highly doubt he would go up to her and give her advice on where to move and what job to take. And I would hope that he would lead her to the Lord to ask him.
Yeah.
Because he's all knowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the second someone starts asking their pastor that, and if their pastor feeds into that and gives them advice, then they're going to wind up having an ego problem thinking that they're God, you know? And that's when you go down the rabbit hole of trying to tell people what to do and stuff. And you feel like you have power, you know, you want a humble pastor to look up to that preaches sound doctrine and leads you closer to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm done here.
That was really good.
I've completed my mission today.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I completed my mission. Mm. Love you guys. Talk to y'all next Wednesday on the tripod.